Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. I'm Paul Sullentrop, Senior Communicator with Wichita State Strategic Communications. We're going to talk baseball today with Preston Snavely, Senior Right-Handed Pitcher from Fort Collins, Colorado, coming off a good effort on Sunday. And the Shockers will have their home opening series this weekend. They start that against Texas Southern on Friday. Preston, let's get right to the major things. You've been here 4 years now. Arrived at Wichita State. You're clean shaven. Now yeah. You've got a neatly trimmed, pretty impressive beard. Take us through the evolution of the facial hair.
Well, my freshman year, I was told that we should probably come in, a little bit clean shaven, maybe have a little bit on your face. But then there was a point in time where we had to do all the pictures and all the promotional stuff, and Coach Butler wanted us shaved, and everyone shaved. Gunnar Trout, Wine, everyone, even though those guys were big bearded, like
Gunnar had quite the beard, didn't
quite
he?
The beard, and we all had to shave, and so it was just kind of, so I went my whole freshman year pretty much clean shaven, and then summer 17 came around, and fall of 17 we had to do promotional stuff, and I had a beard, and then Gerse actually advocated for me to keep my beard, just because he wanted guys to if they're gonna be a senior, be a junior, look like a junior, look like a senior. So it was just kind of and then it just went on from there. And so I think the last time I've been clean shaven was summer of 2018 when I went up to Alaska, and that was only based on superstitions. So, yep.
And superstitions, all right. People love baseball superstitions. You got to fill us in on this.
Yeah, so up in Alaska where I spent my summer playing, we were kind of on a losing skid, and so I had to change something up. So I went we were on like a 4-game losing skid, and so I went into a goatee. Shaved into a goatee. We won a couple games. Then my idea was if we lost 2 games in a row, I'd shave again into something else. And so then we lost 2 games in a row. And so I went into like a handlebar Fu Manchu kind of thing going on. And we went on a pretty long skid. So I was rocking that for a week. Got a lot of weird looks going to like the movies, places to eat. And then we lost again and 2 more times. And I shaved into a mustache. And then I got shelled while I was on the mound. And I said, I will never rock a mustache ever again. And then so I shaved it, and that was the last time I was clean shaven, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All sports have their superstitions, but it seems like baseball is just especially fertile with superstitions.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think just because baseball is just such a routine sport. You're in a routine. You get here every day. You do the same thing pretty much every day. And you just want to make sure that same thing happens every day. And so if it changes, if you lose, if you don't pitch well, you're like, well, maybe I missed something in my routine today, maybe I gotta change something up. And so you change something, then it works, and then it just grows on that. So I think that's where those superstitions come from.
Pitchers seem to be maybe more routine driven than position players. Does that apply to you? Would you agree with that?
I mean, I just like to come to the field, listen to my music, and then, get dressed. Everyone has their certain way of getting dressed, whether you put your socks on first or your sliders on first. It all depends on what you plan on doing that day or what your routine is. And so I think it just depends on each person. Some guys just put it all on at once, and some guys like to put on stuff, hang out for a bit, and then put on more stuff. Go out to BP, come back in, put on all the rest of their stuff that they got to do, and then, it's game time. So I think it just depends on the type of person and each person there.
Sure. And baseball is such a day-to-day, every day you're playing, you're practicing, all that kind of stuff. It seems to really lend itself to those routines and superstitions. Here's a description from the Fort Collins newspaper when you were a senior. With glasses and a full beard, Snavely stalks the diamond with a quiet but extremely, extremely confident and intimidating presence. Does the beard help that?
Yeah, I would say so. Clean shaven. I'm a big person. you know, fairly intimidating person, but clean shaven. I just kind of have one of those baby faces, as some people would call it. And I also kind of have a little bit of double chin, so I got to cover that up somehow. And so I think it helps presence wise. You know, when you're facing a freshman at the plate and you're up on the mound, like, oh, that guy's a senior, he's got a big old beard, it's a big dude, like, he's probably gonna overpower me. And so you're already one step ahead right there.
Sure.
I think it comes to, I guess, my personalities. I'm not very loud, except for maybe last weekend, but, you know, I think it's just like, I don't know, more intimidating, bigger presence. So I think that's why I keep it around.
Always looking for an edge. Gunnar Troutwine, that was a good reference. He might have had the best beard I've seen here in a long time.
100%.
You are from Fort Collins, which is just a beautiful city. Lots to do. Favorite thing about being from Fort Collins or living in Fort Collins?
I think it's just the ability to – it's so close to the mountains. I can drive 20 minutes, be up in the foothills, go swim in Horsetooth Lake, and go fishing, go hiking. I can go up to Estes Park, which is an hour away, which is unbelievably pretty. So I think it's just the ability to be close to everything. Go up to Wyoming, go into Kansas, you know, everything's around there, and it's really everything you need, except it doesn't have an airport. So
where's the closest airport?
The DIA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which is,
so that's kind of a stretch.
Horribly inconvenient, yes.
Yeah,
even for
very,
people who live in Denver, I think.
Very.
Yeah, yeah. Wichita State baseball has always attracted a lot of hunters and fishermen. Do you do either of those things?
I used to fish a lot, especially when Willie was still coaching and playing with us. Willie Schwanke. I would go out and fish with him and Cody Tyler. I haven't done much fishing lately just because I'm trying to make sure everything's on track, really be present on the baseball field. So, but yeah, a lot of guys go hunting, go fishing. You know, Hunter Gibson, Ross Cadena, they all like to do some hunting and fishing now and then. So if they're going, you know, sometimes I'll tag along or vice versa. So.
That always seems to be a constant here at Wichita State baseball. All right, let's get to some baseball stuff. You're a senior, so you've seen a lot in your time here. You've been through some transitions, which is always interesting because I think, you know, athletes come to a school and the coaching staff is very important. They don't really count on change, but sometimes change happens. So you would have come here recruited by Todd Butler when Brent Kemnitz was the pitching coach, but then your pitching coaches were Mike Steele. Now you've had Mike Pelfrey for these past two seasons, change in head coach from Todd Butler to Eric Wedge. How do you handle all that change as an athlete?
Well, that's actually kind of funny because my whole high school career was changing coaches. Much like my freshman year coming into Wichita State, my freshman year going into high school, head coach changed. So had a whole new head coach my freshman year. Then that head coach left, and so I've just been changing coaches pretty much my entire baseball career. But also what I think helps just being able to adapt to new coaches is my whole life has been pretty much moving. So I was a military kid, and so I had to learn to adapt to different situations and environments and learn to read and meet new people. So I think coming in here, yeah, you never want your coach to leave or you never want changes. But, you know, some changes are for the best, and I think it's just how you accept them. And some people don't like change, and they, you know, they want those that are in their life to stay there the entire time. But, you know, in order for us to progress, I think change is good. And so I think it's just the ability to adapt has come from pretty much my whole life, having the ability to adapt. You know, coming here, coaching change here. You know, I think every year that I've been here, there's been a coaching change, you know, from Kimnitz my freshman year to Walker leaving and Esposito coming in, and Mike Steele leaving last year, and Pelfrey coming in, and then this whole year with a whole new coaching staff has just been kind of a roller coaster. But I think, you know, it's a lot of ups and downs, but I think it's mostly ups. So I think that's really the difference in learning how to adapt to different coaching staffs.
Right. So Wichita State hires Eric Wedge late May, early June. How do you prepare for that? Are you on the internet reading, you know, stories, gathering information, talking to teammates? How do you kind of gear up for a coaching change of that magnitude?
Luckily, I was able to kind of spend most of my summer here in Wichita. So I got to meet Coach Wedge, talk with him, talk with Pelfrey here and there. So just the ability to make that connection before we get into the fall season, where all the freshmen come in, all the sophomores come in that are out playing somewhere, around the United States. So, you just kind of talk to your teammates, see what they think. You know, are people leaving? Are people staying? You know, you just kind of got to gather your friends and then get rid of your enemies. So, you know, if people are leaving, you know, that's their choice. You know, those that stay, you know, you really have to make that connection so that you have a bond, whether it's with them and then you go with them with the coach, or, you know, you make that coaching connection right off the gate, over the summer like I did. So I think me and Coach Wedge made a pretty good connection over the summer. Just learning how he planned to do things really just kind of allowed for me to prepare myself, but also talk to those that were coming in or those coming back, you know, telling them how it's going to be, what we're going to do, what to expect. So I think that's a big part of it.
What were your first impressions on meeting him?
I heard he was an incredible speaker. You know, I think before I met him, I talked to Pelfrey, and Pelfrey went to one of his conferences or lectures, I guess you could call it, and he just said, he's an incredible speaker. Like, he can motivate anyone in a room. I don't think my dad had ever met Eric Wedge, and he came to the first pitch banquet, and, you know, Wedge and all the other coaches talking up there in that little questionnaire, I guess we could call it. My dad was ready to go to fight for him. So it was just kind of, he just has that certain presence and that certain prowess that you want to fight for him, you want to be on his team, you want to give it your all for him. So I think it's just, he's an incredible motivator, he's an incredible speaker, super positive, just he gets his point across, super transparent. You know what you're going to get from him every day. There's no ups, downs. It's just, this is what we're going to do today, this is what we're going to get done, and this is how we're going to do it. And I think that's really what we need here. So
one of the things the coaches mentioned was they were going to lean on you, lean on seniors, lean on the experienced guys to help out the new ones coming in, the younger players. How did you approach that?
It was kind of tough just because the culture the past 3 years was just kind of different. Obviously, we had some good seniors here in the past, Reagan Buechler, Cody Tyler, Willie Schwanke. You know, those are all kind of guys that I kind of leaned on, you know, learned from. So I'm just trying to – I just went into this season and, you know, past fall, just kind of making sure I was there for the freshmen and those guys coming in to answer questions, to, you know, allow for them to talk to someone, even if they're not comfortable talking to the coach, or, you know, they don't have that connection with the coach. You know, they can come to – a senior like Tommy, AJ, Catsby, you know, even some of the juniors like Ross, Liam, those guys. I think it just, you want those freshmen to feel comfortable being here. So I just wanted them to have something and be something that maybe I didn't have when I was a freshman or a sophomore. So I just kind of attacked it head on just to make sure that they were comfortable coming in, doing what they needed to do, making sure they knew where to be, what to do, where to be on time, do all those kind of sorts of things.
You are an excellent student, academic all-conference, honor roll kind of student. Let's talk about that for a little bit. You're a Spanish tutor. Tell me how you got into that.
I've been a Spanish tutor since, I guess it'd be a full year now. I started tutoring in Spanish last spring, and it just really started I'm a criminal justice major, so I had to take a Spanish for law enforcement class, which is really kind of intriguing. But since that class was kind of basic and it went into some advanced academia, I guess you could say, I was really prepared because I took two semester-long Spanish classes 5 days a week for 50 minutes my sophomore year and then my junior year falls. And I took 3 years in high school, so I just kind of know the ins and outs of the basic stuff that I'm able to teach other athletes that take that class. I don't specifically teach the basic level Spanish class, but those that are in criminal justice as a major and have to take that class, you know, I tutor them in that. So I guess I kind of excel at the basic knowledge of Spanish and get my, I guess I could get my way around Spanish speaking countries, I guess, pretty well.
For someone that wants to go to law school, does that, adding something like that to your college experience, does that help show that, you know, hey, I've done more than play baseball?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, is just trying to find something that's non-baseball related that you can put on that resume. So for schools, you know, if I intend to go to law school or, you know, be a police officer or work in the FBI or something, you know, federal, I think for them to see like, oh, you know, he knows basic level Spanish, you know, he can communicate at a certain level in that language, I think it really helps to exceed the expectations of, you know, more than just, oh, he's just a student athlete, he just spent his whole entire career, you know, doing the work and then playing baseball, like he didn't really do anything extra that, you know, I would say not a lot of student athletes really go to. So I think putting that out there on your resume and putting that forward to other people will help with college admission, you know, later in life in law school or getting that job. So I think that I think it really improves my chances of getting into places such as law school and jobs.
Law enforcement, why does that intrigue you?
So like I said before, I was a military kid. So my dad was in the military for 28 years, United States Marine Corps. I've just kind of been around that military kind of law enforcement lifestyle my entire life, and it's always kind of intrigued me. I had also thought about going in the military, but I think more from a law enforcement standpoint, so it'd be more of a Coast Guard, because I think they have a little bit more law enforcement mentality than, you know, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, and the Army. I think it's an everyday thing. It impacts people every day. You can either help someone or just stand by and, you know, be there for yourself. And so I think the ability to impact somebody else's life, whether good or bad, it really is inside of the criminal justice system. Obviously, you want to impact somebody's life for the good, but, you know, sometimes bad things do happen. And so I think it's just getting to the point where you help other people and finding that profession that you can help other people with.
You mentioned the Law Enforcement Training Center, which is, I guess, still a relatively new addition to the Wichita State campus. How's it been nice having that facility so close?
It's really nice. You know, most of my classes there have either been a night class or a class right before practice. So the ability to just have it there and then walk straight over to practice or go straight from practice to there, go to the calf, then go there, you know, it really makes it really simple. And, you know, the classroom's really nice, really big. So it's really nice to have to learn more in that criminal justice system.
Yeah, it's just kind of a foul ball, I guess, away from away from X Stadium.
Really,
so it's very, very convenient. Let's talk about Sunday. Northwestern State down in Louisiana, 6 2/3 innings, career high 11 strikeouts, walked one, gave up four hits and two earned runs. Take us through that Sunday performance.
I was super excited. Friday didn't go as planned. Jake Hamilton had an incredible performance. And then, being down 11-0, like, first game jitters, I get it. I've been there. A lot of freshmen playing. I think we had three or four freshmen in the starting lineup. I hadn't seen that since I've been here, really. So just getting those first game jitters out of the way, and then Liam Eddy came back on Saturday, just an incredible start. 8 innings, 1 hit, 10 Ks, just unbelievable. And so I think that really just empowered the team. And, in the past couple weekends leading up to this first series, we really emphasized the importance of Sunday. And so I knew that, being a senior, I was like, I've seen a lot of downfalls come on Sundays, whether it's, we should have got that sweep over a, not so good team, or we should have won that series on a Sunday, or we should have not got swept on that Sunday. So I knew I had to go out there and give it, my all. I can't say that I wasn't nervous. I had butterflies, but if you're not nervous, then I don't know what to tell you. But I just knew the importance of it, executing pitches. Get my team in and or off the field as soon as I can. Just keep my team in the game, which is the whole ideal to it. The first inning kind of it didn't end like most of my first innings go, just because I got a little chirpy towards the hitter. I said some choice words, but I think that really. I think that really powered, our energy level up. Some guys just, sometimes like myself, I'm really, really calm, kind of monotone. But for myself, I really got into it with the hitter, and that edge kept me going for those 6 2/3 innings. And then obviously I fell off in the seventh inning, but I was tired, but then I had to give it up to the bullpen. It's just the ability to go out there and execute pitch after pitch and getting your team off the field as soon as possible and back up there to the plate to give them more runs. And, I only had a one-run lead, but, sometimes that's all you need. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out, so that's about it.
Yeah, I think in past seasons, especially when Wichita State's pitching staff was really, operating at a high level, you'd almost go into Sunday thinking the Shockers had an unfair advantage. I mean, they had a Sunday guy who could have pitched on Friday or Saturday. Do you think of it in terms of Sunday's the day when staff depth really, really shows up?
Yeah, I think so. I was thinking about it, and I can't remember who said it to me, but last season I spent 5-6 weeks as a Friday night guy. My first Friday night start was against Texas Tech. I don't know what they were ranked at that time, but we were at Texas Tech, and it's just I don't even remember the crowd. I was so focused, and that's how I was on Sunday. And I think it gives that edge, and I knew that I was going up against a freshman, and he doesn't have any experience. This is his first collegiate start. Credit to him, he threw pretty well, kept us to one run through six innings, I believe. But I knew that I had the more experience, I had the mental capacity to go out there and just give my team a chance, and that's all you need to do is give your team a chance to win the game. And I think I did that. Unfortunately, obviously, we didn't win that game, but giving your team a chance allows you to win that series on a Sunday, or give that sweep, or keep your team from getting swept. I think my past experiences as a Friday night guy really gave me that edge on Sunday to help the team understand how important Sundays are to be able to win that game.
Yeah, Sundays are kind of an odd thing. You can win the first two games of the series, but if you lose on Sunday, the bus ride home or the plane ride home isn't quite as fun as what it could be.
Yeah, it's always a rough one after you lose, especially on Sundays, because everyone's like, and you know, midweek games, if you lose a game, you know, it's a really, really quiet bus ride home, and guys are either asleep, not talking, or doing homework, and you're just kind of like, you know, we should have won that game so I can, you know, laugh and talk with my teammates rather than be so somber and quiet and not really have a good time home. And then you're sleeping and you're waking up and you're like, we should have won. So
definitely Sundays can be really, really important. Take us back, let's say, from whenever you started practice, September 1st or August 20th to Sunday. How do you feel like you've improved?
Just mentally, mentally and physically. Garrett Bailiff is definitely the physical part of that. Great dude, great strength and conditioning coach. Really keeps guys on top of their stuff, whether it's stretching, weightlifting, warm up. It really helped me physically understand my body a little bit better. You know, we brought in a nutritionist. Obviously, we have a nutrition table out there kind of just to fuel us throughout the day if we have class. But credit to him, you know, me being stronger, I'm able to feel my body a little bit better, understand how it works, all that kind of stuff. But mentally, that comes from Wedge and Pelfrey. You know, we emphasize here the not just a pro mentality like a lot of coaches want to instill in players. It's, you know, you want to be a pro, you want to be a pro, you want to be a pro. But here, we're emphasizing that big league mentality with Pelfrey playing there for 12 years and Wedge coaching there and playing there. They know the ins and outs of playing in the big leagues, and so they emphasize that here. And I think just that mentality really has been instilled in me, like just going out, doing your stuff every day to the best of your ability. You know, Wedge always says, you never maintain. You either get worse or you get better. There's no maintaining. And so making sure your habits are good, making sure you're doing things the right way is really, I think, a step up for me, but not just me, everyone on the team.
When I talked with Eric Wedge last week, he mentioned in reference to you, really talking to you about trusting your stuff, not thinking too much, staying out of your own head. Tell me about that from your perspective.
I think it's just the big thing is when it comes to pitching is, yeah, staying out of your own head. You know, if you start to overthink it, you know, you're not focused on executing pitches. You're not focused on the teams. You're either focused on mechanics. You're focused on how bad you're doing, you know. So, you know, Pelfrey always says that, you know, if you're not focused, if you're not all in on executing this pitch, you know, you're going to start doubting yourself. You're going to start thinking about mechanics, but in reality, it's on your mind. Pelfrey always tells stories about, you know, when he would be unfocused. You know, if you're unfocused, you can be thinking about everything, and then, you know, he says sometimes you'll hear that guy in the third deck saying, you suck, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I do suck. You know, it's just kind of, you just got to stay so level-headed and attacking all the time. And so, and I think a big part of that is our ability to call our own pitches. So, you know, on Sunday it was just me and Ross. There was no coaches relaying signs. You know, I was able to throw a pitch, get back up on the mound, and know exactly what I want to do rather than wait for the coach to give a sign. Ross watch, understand, make sure he gets the right sign, look at his wristband, go down there, give me the sign, make sure I understand, and then I execute a pitch. But in all that time, I'm thinking, you know, from the coach giving the sign to Ross and Ross giving the sign to me, I have so much time to think about something else rather than pitch and then get back up there, get the ball, get a sign, pitch, and that's all I have to think about. So I think it speeds up the game for the good. And allows you to just not think, rather. And then also, you just don't want to shake off the coach. you know, if Pelfrey's calling pitches, you know, like, well, he played 12 years in the big leagues, but is his style of pitching and his mentality the same as mine? You know, that's to each person. But I think that time it takes to give signs and all that stuff and make sure you understand and you don't cross each other up.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, the catcher calling the pitches, because we talked about in the fall. So that would go to the pace of play that I've heard Eric and Mike Pelfrey talk about a lot, that they want a crisp, you know, clean, well-played game. So that helps from your perspective.
Oh, yeah, the tempo for, you know, the starting pitching, and honestly, any pitcher really sets the tempo of the game. You know, if you're going to be slow getting signs, you know, you're going to lull your defense to sleep, then they're going to be on their heels, make errors, not going to have their feet moving. But, yeah, there was multiple times this past Sunday where I got back up the mound. You know, I pre-gripped the pitch that I wanted to throw. And before anything, that was the pitch that Ross put down. And I was like, you know, we're on the same page here. Let's keep going. And it was like poetry in motion, I guess you could say.
Excellent. Poetry in motion. That's a good way to wrap it up. Preston, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. This has been the Roundhouse Podcast. We've been talking with senior pitcher Preston Snavely. The Shockers open up their home schedule this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at X Stadium against Texas Southern. We appreciate you listening.